Hey everyone, Blake Crash-Priddle here, and it's time for another edition of The Medley. We're all kinds of different, and this time our guest is Cliff Thorburn. Cliff Thorburn is a retired professional snooker player, and he's currently a snooker instructor. What started off as a hobby turned into an amazing career where he won the World Snooker Championship in 1980. Cliff Thorburn is Canadian, and he's also said to be the only snooker player from the Americas to win the World Championship in snooker. What inspired you to become a professional snooker player?
Well, I was born in Victoria, B.C., a sports-minded area, and I played lacrosse and baseball, soccer, and I just went bowling and with my dad one night, and I heard this clicking noise down from the basement that door. Well, I know a door like a hallway, and I just went down there and saw somebody bank a ball in the side pocket, and a groan went up, and a few guys threw some money on the table, and it just the bright green cloth and the colored balls and the frilly shade, so to speak, and I just wanted to see that kind of world again, and I ran upstairs and I said to my dad, I explain what I just saw, and he said to me, he paused and he said, don't go down there. So once he said that, of course I had to go down there again. So anyways, I just, I started to play a little bit, and I just fell in love with the whole rectangular world of playing on a billiard table. And it was snooker, and I really wasn't supposed to end up or do what I did, being born in Victoria, because the game was really frowned upon, and many, many things are a bum's game or this or that. And it wasn't really fair, because nobody even knew that there was a world championships, including myself. And the world championships had been going on for probably 35 years already in the UK. So, but it was a well-kept secret. So that's how it started. I just wanted to be in that world all of my life, and I'm still there. I'm going up to Ottawa tomorrow, actually, flying up to Ottawa tomorrow to put on an exhibition. So,
yeah, I enjoy playing pool and snooker as a hobby. I've never played at a pro level, obviously, and I never played games for money, but I have played in a couple of tournaments, and it's fun. I've used to play pool at my cousin's place all the time, and we'd sometimes even play snooker on the pool table. Since we didn't have a big snooker table, we had to make do with the pool table, and it was harder, but it was just as fun.
Oh, yeah, that was, well, that's part of the fun part. And one of the things that stands out is that when if I've got a student and I'm be talking and I just try to explain to them that everybody's so concerned about how they play and what the score is and everything, and it just really sometimes I just wonder. The best games of golf that I ever had, I didn't even have to have a pencil and I keep score, and the same things applied with snooker. If you're, if you're just having a great time, okay, so you're keeping score, but there's more to it than that. And then you have a moment where you play the best that you've ever played in your life. And it's like playing over your head is what they used to call it. Well, I probably still call it. Maybe the phrase is you're lucky so and so kind of a thing now. Or all the phrases that have been used. But once you play over your head and the joy and the glee, you know, that, you know, you've done a wonderful, one of the most wonderful things that you've ever done in your life when you haven't missed a shot. And you know, for the first time in your life that you're not going to miss a shot for a while. And it really is, you know, it's one of those moments that, you know, that will take you to the next level. And the excitement, and, you know, of course, all depends how old you are. And the excitement is, you know, like for a game or a sport is second to none, that's for sure.
Your nickname during your pro career was the Grinder. I know lots of snooker players have nicknames. Where did the nickname the Grinder come from?
I don't know. Never gave up, and not always looking for an answer. Didn't want to, leave my, I just took great care in being somebody that nobody liked to play for the longest time, because I played safe, but I could also score reasonably well when I got in. And never gave up, I guess. There's that. It doesn't, I'm sort of not saying that I'm I don't mind the name, except that now, you know, grinding has got a different name, and I don't want to get into all that stuff, you know what I mean? But I'll let somebody else have a laugh about that or whatever, but like basketball's got the, grinders about people that never give up, what else that it would be? Well, basketball, maybe something else too. But that, in snooker is, a tough match.
In 1980, you won the world championship against Alex Higgins, who was also known as Hurricane Higgins. How did it feel to win the world championship against Hurricane Higgins? I mean, it must have been an incredible feeling.
Yeah, it was. My wife, we weren't married at the time, but she was with me, of course, on that trip, and in 1980, the last session of the championship's over four sessions. It's like the first one to win 18 games over four sessions, two sessions a day. Like it finishes on a Sunday and then a bank holiday Monday, the first Monday in May over in the UK. And there was a build up, and it got to be pretty exciting. It was 16 all, and it went down to the last two frames, and I didn't miss a ball in the last two frames, and the euphoria, and thinking about my dad who he said, "Don't go down there." So when I won the championship, I shook the fellow's hand, and it was a big, I still had to, think I had a bunch of bookings and stuff I had to do 3 weeks after I won the championship. So the trophy basically was just in the back, in the trunk of my car, and I was just obligated to do this stuff. And then we finally got home back here in Toronto, and about 3 weeks later. And I remember my wife and I were going through customs, and there was I knew that there was a bunch of people out, about 150 people at the airport, and then we were behind this couple. I don't know where they came from, but they had about three suitcases all tied up with rope and everything, the fella asked me what it was when I'm going through in customs, and he said, "What's in there?" And I said, "Oh, it's a trophy." He said, "Okay, we'll go over there." And then and that's where I've ended up behind these people. And that took about 20, 25 minutes. And then so they finally, got through. And then the guy said to me, what's in there? And I said, "Oh, it's the world championship trophy." He said, "Well, congratulations, you can go." And I'd go, oh my God, we wanted to see our friends and everything, and it was just, and to go out there and everything, and a couple of newspapers were there, and friends. So, yeah, it was everything that I dreamt that it would be, and more.
And as of today, you're the only snooker player of the Americas that won the World Championship. Is that correct?
Yeah, at one time I was, it seemed, that I was the only overseas player. It's a long story. But there's Neil Robertson, one from Australia, won it about 12 years ago. And now this Zhao Zingtong is now the current world champion. And he might even win it again this time. But yeah, to be the only one in the Americas, I think is really... it's really got a nice ring to it. and because of the fact that it's not pool, it's snooker, it's a British Commonwealth game. And to actually come out of our system, and be our snooker system with no tournaments to begin with, and just learning the game all over again because the balls and everything were so different over the UK compared to here was a trial like everything else is. But to be the only North American player really has a ring to it. It's because of people helping me and pointing me in the right direction I never had to have a Canadian flag stamped on my forehead because everybody knew who I was and where I was from, and they're always going to, they're always going to be that way.
Last question before we wrap up. What do you think could be done to make snooker more popular in Canada once again?
One thing, there's so many things for people to do now too, but there's, it's like, you have to see it in the right, in the right type of situation where you see something, you dream it and then you do it. But it's like chess. If you don't know where it's like when I first looked at chess, because I didn't know where all the pieces went, I thought it was a silly game, and then I found out, like back in 1970 when Spassky and Bobby Fischer were playing, that, that all of a sudden there was this game and the pieces and all the moves are in the paper, like the next day. Getting to see it, but also, junior development. I mean, I'm coaching a couple of really young kids now, about 13 years old, and boy, is it ever fun just seeing them, get better and have that kind of love for the game. It's a different world. One of the kids that I'm teaching wants to get his solo, a pilot's license. By the time that he's 15, he's 13 right now, and he also, he plays the piano, and his sister plays the violin, and they do concerts together. I mean, this is the kind of world that I'm sort of in right now, like just on the fringe, of course, but like that kind of thing. But I mean, it's just you've got to. If you open up a restaurant, you just want to have a chance. You want to get the person in there, you just want them in there once to have, like, to taste your food, to be in the environment, to be around the people. And the same thing applies. I just want to get, some kids, even, anybody really, that, and given the opportunity of seeing something that would blow their mind, a 72 square foot surface and with the ball six pockets, and they're having tapes of all the greatest players that ever played, up on 10 or 12 sort of screens, and you can look around, you can compare, you can see that you're going to bring the cue back slower, and then you have a slight pause, and then you hit the ball, and everybody, all the top players all do the same, you know, they do things that nobody else does, and the amateurs do lots of things that the pros don't do. So that, you know, the transition to actually get better, watch these guys play and be told that you're doing a good job, or here, try this, until that is in a place where it is just coaching, and I'm sort of working towards that, but it's not going to be quick, and it's just like if you're not practicing, somebody else is, and everybody's sort of flying by us, I think, at this point in time. It bothers me so much, but my love for the game, and to finish things off here, I like what you said. I mean, I'm from Vancouver Island, and I could have a table in a log cabin, on the west coast of Vancouver Island. And if somebody wants to learn to me, well, then come and find me, because I'm going to be doing it for quite a while.
Cliff, I really enjoyed hearing your story. Thank you very much for your time, and I wish you the best of luck coaching those kids and with your future endeavors.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And that was retired professional snooker player and snooker instructor Cliff Thorburn. As always, I hope that you enjoyed this edition of The Medley, and remember, we're all kinds of different.